pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Boyne County Board of Supervisors, October 19th, 2021. Any changes to the tentative agenda? Have an agenda. Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Boyne County Auditor.
Good morning. We've just been busy preparing for the city school election. Yesterday was the last day that anybody could request an absentee ballot to be mailed. We had to have their request form by 5 p.m. And I think we got about six of them yesterday, so we got those taken care of. But now whenever anybody comes down here to register and vote, they have to do that the same day, so. So we're just plugging away. We've got over 100 absentee requests so far for the city school election, so. We're just moving along with that.
Calendar strike tee.
Just keeping busy like always, got nothing new to report.
Chair Voss or land use?
Ditto for that, just keeping busy. We got subdivision out for review, minor subdivision, and then next week we have a zoning commission meeting to go over the revised zoning and subdivision ordinances. It's moving along, so apart from that, nothing to report.
Thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads. Brian, no disrespect intended, you can start, I'll be listening, but I forgot my coffee in here.
Take your time.
And he needs coffee to listen to you.
And the other two get out on their leave.
Getting longer around.
So we can talk about Tom at the moment.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Time's up.
There is a crew up doing crack sealing on Mediapolis Road. Worked yesterday, worked today. Maybe finish up today or tomorrow, but they won't be there. It's a short-term project. Obviously in the middle of guys trying to get grain to market, so that's caused a little frustration, but it is a one lane. They are going to get through. It's just a little bit of a pause on their way. So Flint Bottom should open up tomorrow morning. We got pavement markings done yesterday. Most of, if not all of, the seating and shaping, final shaping got done yesterday. They are pouring the throats of the intakes this morning, the concrete throats of the intakes, and they're just going to set cones on those so they can cure. There's plenty of room for traffic to ease around that without any problems. So I would expect that'll open tomorrow morning, formally open. But it hasn't been a hard closure for a while now, but so that'll be good to get that back to functioning, get out of everybody's way, and let that go back to normal. So we do have a crew in. We had some bridge decks that we've got to address in our upcoming construction program at some point. And they're more extensive than just sending a crew out, throwing a little patch in, that kind of a thing. So I actually brought our consulting firm down, and there's eight bridge decks that they're going to, between today and tomorrow, that they're going to be going around and doing what they call chain drags on, which is basically identifying loose spots or weak spots within the deck. That concrete sounds different when you drag a chain on it, when it's got a hollow or a delaminated area in it. So they mark all that out, plot it up, and that way we can start working towards figuring out kind of what to work on first, because we can't afford eight bridge decks in the next 5 years anyway, but it'll start giving us direction towards that. So we do have a couple of traffic control guys with them from our shop. They were starting clear up on the north end of 99, and there's eight bridges. It'll take them a couple of days. So that is going on. The 235th upgrade project, that little short piece of dirt road, FI started that, I believe, Friday, and they should wrap it up by the end of this week. So just sometime I'll get you guys up there and you can see what that ends up looking like. But they were working there yesterday, hauling dirt like crazy, and that should button up. It's not a long project. So that's coming along. And then I think that crew leads me into the next thing. I think that crew is moving over to Pleasant Grove, and they're going to try to do as much dirt work as they can. No road closure, possibly some sort of a lane closure, or just simply an alternate or a stop and go type deal for more for safety. But they are hoping to move over there and try to get some of that dirt work done this fall, which will ultimately help the time period for next spring. So should see some activity there moving in the next week if things stay as they had told us. And we got a couple different ditching operations going today, and we finally finished up the bulk of our rock program this week, including our pinch roads and such. So that's good. That finally frees up a couple bodies to work on some other stuff. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Trying to start counting the days when you get to mid-October, start using the good weather as much as you can. Not that we haven't already, but you start realizing it's not going to last that much longer. So,
Ron, is crack sealing on this Minneapolis road, is that where they come together? The
worst of the cracks was actually the centerline crack.
Crack.
It was that one was just, not all of them separate that way. That one was. So that was the biggest one. Then they'll go ahead and route and seal any of the reflector cracks that have come up through, longitudinal, transverse, whichever way. They do those while they're there. But the center line was the one that gave me the most concern. We don't have that, like I said, real commonly, but that road definitely opened up, and we just wanted to keep as much salt and stuff out of there for future winter. Yeah. So that's what they're doing. That's why we're doing it. That was
That heat? Isn't that when they did that road? Wasn't there some problems with the heat? I think they had to work at night a few days.
Good memory. That was a $50,000 change order, and the very first and hopefully last night operation that we've ever had to undertake here, because it was too hot during the day for the asphalt. The asphalt was not cooling down enough to be usable the next day, so we had to go to night operations. And even the nighttime temperatures back then at that stretch, we're pushing 80 degrees on some nights. We had that was the same summer we had the mainline concrete paving on Highway 99. So we had to split crews, and one crew went to a night shift, one crew went to a day shift and cover everything. So yeah, and whether that's part of it, I think that's certainly possible. That's part of it. I don't know the answer to it. So we don't see any problems with the paving, so that's a great thing. So, like I said, get it sealed up and keep material and salt from getting in there. And as of now, I've been watching that very close because we had some other issues on that project that we think might have been heat related. And they really haven't shown up at this point as far as the general paving itself. So, but yeah.
When they do that chain drag on these decks, do they check them? You know, here, what, 2-3 years ago, we had some of them where they'd go down and push that deck back up.
Oh, that no, those weren't in on the this is actually being done on the bridge. What
on
we
the
did
bridge.
There was
yeah.
on the approaches, and they, no, they're not doing anything with that.
Okay.
Yep. They're just simply looking at the deck itself.
Just weak spots in the deck. Is that what it's?
Yeah, just trying to identify like I said, trying to prioritize. That's really the biggest thing. It's not like any of those 8 bridges are going to fall in. None of the bridges that they're going to are posted at this point. We're really just trying to, what I wanted to do was set forth and try to have a plan to try to address our worst priorities first as we move forward. I mean, you're probably talking, if you're talking a deck overlay, you're probably talking $200,000 to $300,000 a pop. And it takes a while to knock all of those out. It's just with the money that we have, it takes all that time.
$200,000 to $300,000 for a deck overlay?
By the time you mill and you fix spots, because it's no different like they did over here on some of these overpasses a couple years ago across the 4-lane, where if you drove by there, they milled across it, and then those spots I'm talking about, sometimes those are bad enough that you have to go ahead and break out all the way through the deck. But you got to do that and leave the existing steel all in place. And then you form the bottom, pour that patch, and then of course at the end you put a deck over a 2-inch new deck over top, and it's just identifying what kind of project needs done. I mean, that's why we're doing it, is just identifying what we think needs done, how soon each one needs done, and again setting our priorities going forward. so.
Yeah, I was just asking a question. You don't got to get funky about it. Hey, before you leave, I need to ask you something, so don't.
I'm running out of here as quick as possible. So, sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. Let's see, we have internet back at the Nature Center, so that's good. Thanks to Colin for his work on getting CenturyLink to open us back up. Apparently they did find or supposedly received the check finally, so that's good. We've had several people ask, you know, why do you need internet at the Nature Center? People gotta realize that, one, our cell phones pretty much don't work down in that hole. So we can't even get on our emails to communicate back and forth to teachers and program planners and stuff like that. Two, all of our project management system, all of our timesheet systems, obviously all of our email, all of our files. So every document, everything that our staff works on is all networked through our server out of our office. And so without internet connectivity, we literally have zero use for any of that. And, you know, I could have the staff just sit there and, you know, keep cleaning the Nature Center or whatever. But, you know, the reality is I'm not just going to have them sit there and not be able to use their time.
How are the animals supposed to know to get out of Tom's way if they can't get online and find out who he is?
Right? Exactly. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just, we live in a connected world now. And so when you lose your connectivity, it brings your entire operation essentially to a halt. Our camera system is networked. So it is pretty critically important for us to plan programs and communicate with teachers and all that kind of stuff. And so that seems to be functioning. We are talking to some of the service providers again about what's it going to take to get a better line down there. Because even the line that runs our internet also runs our phones. And so every time it rains, you can't hardly talk on the phone because of the static and the buzz behind there is so incredible. Like I said, cell phones basically don't work down there.
If it's raining, they don't work?
Yeah, so if it rains and the ground gets wet, it starts shorting out the line and the buzz in the phone, it's almost like microphone feedback. It's just this buzz, hum kind
of. You got a ground line there though too, right?
Yeah, it runs in the ground. And so,
I mean, you guys have not just mobile phones.
Landline.
Yeah, landline. And it's the landline that buzzes. Yeah, every time it rains. And so, it's just, you know, it's difficult. And then other than that, folks are just kind of working on some park maintenance. We are going to be working on fish habitat grants, or possibly two of them. We're looking at building some sediment ponds at Big Hollow. These are going to be the first one. We might actually do two. It's going to be west of the RV campground, but east of the primitive campground. There's a drainage in there. When we first did the watershed assessment back in, I think, 2017, we identified all of the gullies within the park that fed the lake, and then they ranked them by how much sediment they were giving up, how erosive they were. And so we've been systematically going through and trying to address the most erosive ones. We built that pond right next to the campground 2 years ago, and that was the most erosive gully that we had, so we addressed that by building a sediment pond there. This one will be the next one over, and so that's doing what we can inside the park to address water quality in the lake. And so if we get the grant, it'll be next year probably, folks will start seeing some work. We're going to do it where we try to impact the timber as minimally as possible, but it will require some tree clearing, and so folks may see that. But it'll create kind of a neat pond right next to the campgrounds there, so it'll be a...
It's looking pretty green in some spots, man.
It's looking pretty green in a lot of spots, yeah. And so, so we are working on that. We are working with the watershed team and the engineer that we hired to get that watershed plan done, and having a lot of correspondence back and forth on that. We expect to see a draft of that final plan here possibly first part of next month. Okay. So that is moving. It just, you know, it moves at the pace of government. Other than that, campground was full this last weekend. Our camp host tells us she turned 15 people away from Big Hollow here in the middle of October. But, I mean, you couldn't ask for better camping weather. This is gorgeous out. So, and it looks like we're likely to have that through the end of the year. So we expect to see good numbers, honestly, through the end of the camping season through this month anyway. We will start shutting water off at the end of October in some of our parks. In our campgrounds, we will leave it on as long as we're not at risk of freezing. And so we'll just kind of play that by ear. Folks that want to get in that late season camping still can. As long as we're not going to be freezing at night, we can't afford to be freezing up hydrants at night.
Hey, I just want to say that I got a chance to use the park recently, as you know, when I was harassing you on vacation. But it was fantastic. I've been telling everybody, you know, that they need to go out there and re-experience that. The cabin, the off-grid cabin, was fantastic. My only complaint was the water wasn't blowing enough in the toilet, so we'll work that out.
But I don't pass that along.
But yeah, it was great. And my grandson came out, man, and we threw some rocks on the road. Calm down, man.
Did we skip rocks?
No, we didn't skip any rocks. I think he would have if I'd let him, but no, we didn't do that. But no, we did some s'mores and all that good stuff. But it was phenomenal. We're going to do it again next year. See if I can get it reserved. But it was a great time. I think people need to utilize the things that we do have in Des Moines County. We got a lot of good stuff. And so get out and do it. And I just want to say this too, that COVID, you know, they say you can't be around people. Nature is COVID free, my friends.
And now's a great time with all the leaves turning and everything and all the color out there. It's really a great time to get outside, you know, especially when you got weather like this in the fall. You're not out there freezing, checking out the leaves. Good time. Get out there.
I drove out by there the other day and seen two guys cleaning the back of their boat off there.
Oh yeah.
Isn't there someplace else that they could do that where people's not going to be walking? I mean, that is, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Oh, yeah. No, there really isn't. I mean, that's about the only spot where you've got any sort of hose contraption to hose it off. And I'm glad they're doing it and they're not just, you know, dragging around the county.
Yeah.
You know, because really by law, you're supposed to clean your boat off and make sure you're not transporting aquatic invasives. And so that's one of the things we're going to be looking at as far as future improvements, like to the boat ramp, is the boat wash station.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of counties and a lot of state parks and stuff have put that near the boat ramp.
Just put one of them there, can't you put a pump or something, just pump right out of the lake and run right back in then?
Yeah, pull out and down low where you don't have the algae. Yep. That's one of the things we're exploring.
Yeah. Yep. It sure makes it nice. You got little kids running around out there. Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Natalie Steffner, One County Recorder.
Good morning. I just want to let you guys know next Tuesday, October 26th, the Iowa Land Records is going to be putting on a seminar. That's going to be at Pizzazz from 3 to 4:30. The program's going to cover just basic electronic filing. That's what a lot of banks, abstract companies, attorneys, use to do their e-recordings is through Iowa Land Records. They're also going to introduce a new updated version. And then it's going to be the chance just for these banks and these submitters to be able to ask questions and learn learn about their new platform. So if you gentlemen want to come out and see how the electronic filing system works, just let me know. That'll be next Tuesday.
What time Tuesday?
3 to 4:30.
So Natalie, I've been waiting on this. So did you see me yesterday?
No.
You didn't see me yesterday.
Wow.
You didn't see these black fingers waving all like this at you? You didn't see that?
I didn't see any fingers.
You didn't see no fingers? I'll make sure you see what I said. All right, I waved at
Where
Natalie
at?
And she didn't wave back.
It had to be between here and Sperry.
Well, no, it was here. It was here. And you looked at me, and you did like this, and I'm going, all like this, man. And some old lady looked at me, was like, what's the matter with this guy? You know, and you didn't even acknowledge it. Just going to hurt my feelings. You and Ryan E. Blesner, you're both on my hit list.
I think you're making that up, because I don't know.
Deep in thought.
Blesner, man.
I must have been.
Gotta be careful about the people when they're driving, or you get sideswiped.
I was driving. I got ran into a car trying to wave it down.
Thank you, Natalie. Sean Hagelbeck, attorney's office.
The boss upstairs today, so I'm sitting in. Everything's running smooth at this point, nothing to report. They're just moving faster, trying to get all these COVID waivers done. So we've got bosses and jury today, they got another one next week, week after, you know, they're knocking them out as fast as they can.
The last of COVID waivers is what, the end of December, I think?
31st, I believe it's actually January 31st.
Okay.
December 2, but it might be January.
Okay. Thanks, Trent.
So yeah, so they're working through it pretty fast at this point, which is what we have to do. So, yeah.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Owen County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. Nothing new to report. I do have an agenda item.
Okay. Thanks, Janelle. Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. Really don't have anything. We did get through the active killer seminar, or the drill. I think everything went really, really slick. I mean, it's probably the smoothest it's ever gone. We've still learned some things. There's some things we need to work on, some extra things we needed to add to training. But wow, they did a great job. I was very, very impressed with how well that went. So.
I was wondering if you guys were going to do like an assessment of safety and bring it back before the board, like on some things that maybe we are vulnerable at. I was mentioning to the, because we were locked up here back in our little room, but that glass doesn't really make me feel safe, you know, and there's no other place to go. So did we come up with some ideas on ways that if something was to go on and pop in, where we can improve the courthouse?
Rodney?
I guess we didn't really look at like material structure type stuff. We were just mainly looking at the scenario and all the entities that was there and how their communication and
response.
How their response and kind of that was the biggest focus of the drill. That's something we can definitely take a look at. Just so you know that all that security stuff is very expensive. Just a short little reminder. Budget time.
That's what I'm like talking to.
we've made some changes in the past to different things, like you guys now have windows and, you know, so people can't just jump over the counters. But yeah, we've found that is really, really expensive. So I guess we're kind of saying that you may not be as important as some of the others.
We already know that.
I had a couple of thoughts, but the sheriff's office came through and collected all the weapons before the drill started.
And they tagged us down and double checked.
So, and like I said, there were some lessons learned. There were some things that were really important, I think. One of the groups did text 911. I think it's important for people to understand that you can text 911. And that's going to be added to the training to make sure everyone gets that in their head, that send a text, don't call. And they were sharp enough to actually have a code word. So when the officers were coming in and clearing, remember from the other times we've had it, people said, I'm not leaving that room because I don't know if that's the person. Well, they actually texted a code word to DESCOM, and DESCOM called the officers and told them to use that code word so they would know that it was legit to let them in. So, I mean, people are thinking. I mean, they're really getting this, and we've seen a lot of things that really was impressive. So,
one thing I found out, we're going to have to, we knew what we were going to do each door, all three of us, but we're going to have to relay this to the auditor's office because some little blonde-haired woman about knocked me down out there.
Get out of there! Get out of that door! We heard the pop, 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 and it got real. Get out of the way!
So, yeah, it took a lot of work to put that together, but I think everyone was impressed with how it went and how quick our courthouse security was able to take the individual out. I mean, it worked out very well. So something we'll keep working on, keep growing and developing and making sure that we've got everything in place and people can actually respond and not freeze up because they don't know what to do. But yeah, it went really well. So that was probably the biggest thing for the last week that we were working on. So very proud of everyone. We got some great departments working with us.
Well, and the biggest sustain I saw out of that, and I've dealt with the, you know, 20 years dealt with stuff like this, right? And you know, whenever you get to an interagency operation, you know, that's training at the highest level. And you know, I was in the went over to the county attorney's room, so we've got all the cameras, we can see everything. And in watching the video, I mean, it was hard to tell who was from what department, because everybody was working together between the police department, the sheriff's office, and even once the fire department finally came in. I mean, they're working together so seamlessly, you can't even really tell who's who. And that's extraordinary. Because a lot of the times when you get interdepartmental entities trying to work together, it looks like almost the Three Stooges, because you know, one group wants to do this, and the other group wants to do this, and the other group's trying to, and they're not communicating. And all of that, it just happened. And that's what made it so successful is, you know, it's all the time that they work together every day when they're doing, you know, when they're doing the local support, when they're giving each other backup. It was really impressive to see all these entities come together, work together seamlessly, instantly. And then as far as individuals, as far as like the cops, us, people, just civilians, you know, having a plan is the biggest thing. It's kind of like, what's the important part of the fire drill? It's not necessarily that everybody gets out the right door. It's that everybody knows they need to go out of a door and somebody's going to do head count and you have a plan. And I think every entity, you know, that's part of the benefit of this is, okay, what's your plan? You work through it, and it's ran through. So this was, I think, a very successful operation on multiple levels for the people in the building as well as for the emergency responders. It was impressive.
You know, they say, there's a saying that in a high-stress situation, you will not reach a level of greatness but fall back on your level of training. So that's what you will fall back on. And that's why for so many years we've seen people duck and cover. They've been taught that their entire life. You know, duck and cover, that's what you do. Well, it's not going to work in these kind of situations. So with the training they're getting, hopefully people will be able to quickly respond and get done what they need to get done to save their own lives. But he's right. They worked well. They worked really, really well together.
I hope you're paying attention this time, Doug.
What?
No. Thank you, Angie. Jugger. Doug Irvine.
Good morning.
GM administrator.
You're losing it, Tom.
I know my introduction.
Doug Irvine, Correctional Center.
Everything's going good out there. We have 77 as of this morning. Good news of that is there's 6 waiting to go to Oakdale, and another 5 waiting to go to the residential facility. Oakdale's pretty good on getting those in there. Like 3 should go this week.
Is this a new 5, or is this a? I think you had like 5 or 6 last time.
Yep, it's a rotating 5 or 6.
Okay.
Every week they rotate around.
And we got out of county.
So there's 6 out of county. Sheriff Glendenny couldn't be here today. He didn't have any news to pass on, but I did hear from our contract towns. They had a city council meeting and they're pleased with everything that the deputies are doing in those towns. So they're happy with the services. All I got.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
Rodney Buechner, maintenance.
Good morning. Just to add a little bit more onto the drill, I can't thank everybody enough for all their help. So, Angie does the training yearly, and we got to do this drill every other year. But it takes a lot to do that. So, I really appreciate Angie's help. Gina and emergency management, her team, for really kind of help coordinating this, the event, Sheriff Glendenning and his staff as far as putting the scenario together. We kind of lean on them to really just kind of put a scenario together, not to really tell a whole lot. Kind of keep some of it unknown. So we really got to thank him. The Burlington PD has kind of 5 or 6 people. EMS, I think we had, there were 6 people from EMS, had fire command, fire truck, 2 ambulances, 4 people involved out of DESCOM, about 7 CERT team members for volunteers to help with the perimeter and observers. Conservation, we got to thank Chris for allowing some of his group to come down. I think we had 3 from conservation. Brian, I believe, and Becky was here from Secondary Roads. The courthouse security, City Hall, we had 2 or 3 people from City Hall. The county attorney's office had, I believe, 5 or so from their office. Jail had 3 or 4, had transport here. There was just a lot of people involved, a lot of coordination. When you go through the event, you know, it seemed to go pretty quick. You know, courthouse security took them out pretty fast. But kind of piggybacking on what Trent said, there was just a lot of good things that happened, a lot of teamwork between all the entities. And the only way to kind of really get that continuity and that teamwork is to do drills like this. So it was an event for training for the county employees here at the courthouse, but it was really good training for all the emergency responders, law enforcement. So. Like I say, I hope I didn't miss anybody. I know there's some other departments that would like to have maybe been here, but had, you know, was really busy or couldn't break away to come do it. So I hope I didn't miss anybody. But I really want to let all them, everybody know how much we appreciate doing this. And hopefully we never have a live real event, but if we do, hopefully we are better prepared for that. So not only just employees here, but as law enforcement, emergency responders. DESCOM, like I say, there's a lot of good to come out of it. One of the main things, like Angie said, is a text to 911. There's a lot of people that didn't really know that you could do that. So there's always some things that you got to work on, but there's always good points. It was a successful event. I think that's all I have on that. We did have a joint safety meeting. We did give... I gave Angie a review, so she's doing a great job. So thank you, Angie, on that. I think we kind of see that with the incidents or lack of incidents reports throughout the year for the county. So appreciate all that she does. A reminder to all department heads to please make sure that you and your employees come to all the monthly safety meetings. So we're going to be taking a closer look at that and see what we can do to kind of help make sure everybody gets the training that they need. So that's all I have at this time. Thank you.
What happened to videotaping those?
She's working on that. There's a couple on the YouTube, on the YouTube channel.
So. We sent those out. There's a couple that I've got to kind of...
That's immensely helpful.
The active shooter one,
well, sure.
Because we have some video in that, they wouldn't accept it. So
right.
I've got to redo it. So there's some things I've got to work on.
Sure.
But we do have one of the insurance companies I work with likes the idea of doing those and would really like to use some of my trainings, which I don't have a problem with. So we're kind of working out a deal that they're going to allow everyone to have access, even if it's not their insurance company. Everyone can go look at those videos. If I'm giving it to them, you know, kind of fair deal. But then I wouldn't have to worry about those things. It wouldn't be quite so tight on what can be put on there. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Rodney. And I'm sure I'm speaking for the board when we like to piggyback on your the appreciation and the thanks you pointed out to all the people that made that last week possible. So.
Well, and Rodney himself, too.
Exactly.
He has to organize all of us. So he's thanking everybody else, but he's got to get us all organized and kind of put together. You guys have worked with me enough to know how much of a challenge that could be.
But it was a challenge to Alan. Congratulations to Rodney. He's the new chairman of the Joint Safety Committee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, poor guy. We all love him so much. You know, it's one of those situations when you're really, truly good at what you do and you work really hard, you get all the work thrown at you.
No.
That's poor Rodney.
Thank you, Rodney.
Thanks.
Krista Pogamon, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. We still have our at Southeastern Community College Fairgrounds. We're still doing the COVID vaccination drive-through clinics from 8:30 to 4 on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. We have all three vaccines that are available, the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the Johnson & Johnson, and giving the boost shots for anyone that qualifies. Currently, we have, in the last 7 days, 11% COVID positivity with 102 cases. Do anticipate that to continue going down. Our rate of vaccination of people older than 18 is 56.3. Vaccination rate for folks 65 and older is currently 81%. So
CP, you said flu shots earlier?
COVID. I'm sorry, did I say flu? COVID.
I thought after that you said,
I
think you said you're also flu shots.
I think you said qualifying. I think you said
COVID. We're giving COVID vaccine, but we are giving flu shots as well. But at Southeastern Community College, we're doing the drive-through.
What'd you say about, you said you're doing something out for those who are qualified. What were you saying?
Booster shots.
Of the COVID vaccine.
Okay, I got you.
So anyone who's immunocompromised after 28 days, anyone that's 65 and older is eligible 6 months after they've received it. And anyone 18 to 64 who has an underlying health condition after 6 months since their second dose are eligible for the boost shots.
Okay.
But we are doing flu shots as well. So on Tuesdays at our clinic, as well as we're doing outreach clinics for the flu shots.
Did you mention to me that there was a webinar or a meeting this afternoon to discuss some resources that the state Iowa Public Health might be dispersing later? Mm-hmm.
Okay. There, yes. We've had just some basic information. There seems to be some more funds coming through for some communication, as well as possibly even for homeless people based on some COVID. There was even some discussion about confinement locations such as the jails. And so we're waiting to get some more information on that. And I know, you know, there's talk about expanding who is eligible for the boost shots, as well as, you know, who's eligible for the vaccine. So I know there's more information coming. I don't have a whole lot of details on that yet, but expecting things to probably evolve in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Ken Heinlein, Community Services.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We had our monthly SEAL meetings last week, and there was talk about the Iowa Finance Committee meeting with the auditors and some of our governing board and our CEO. It was kind of disappointing that we didn't get more guidance that we wanted about some of the new legislation. Makes it impossible to keep our Fund 10 in place, and how are we going to replace that and still have cash flow for the region and things like that. So basically the regional governing board decided we're going to invite the legislators to the next regional governing board meeting in November. So a lot of legislators have been invited, and at our next week, the end of next week, we're going to have our management team meeting, and the management team is going to come up with some talking points for that legislative meeting. So we're working on that, but it's just difficult to see what the region's going to look like under the new legislation. We'd like to see the legislation changed so we can continue to have a Fund 10 and not have so many problems with figuring out cash flow. It gets kind of complicated. I didn't get into all the details, but
so it'll be it'll be the region's expenses, but it'll be paid through the counties. But the region can't reimburse the counties, and it also can't prepay those expenses.
Yeah.
This is, you know, only two words that kept going through my mouth, my mind. If anybody here is old enough to remember Rube Goldberg, you know, the that show that, you know, you drop a ball and it go down a gutter, then it hit a mousetrap and the mousetrap would send the ball over here. Just
yeah, it's like,
just sit there in disbelief.
How are we going to pay our employees? How are we going to pay all of our providers? They're doing the services, and the money's all coming from the state, but there's going to be some lag time. How's it all going to work? So, so more to come on that, I'm sure, after we talk to the legislators.
When's that meeting?
It's the second Wednesday of November during our normal, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. Well, 2 o'clock we ask the legislators to come, so just a little after the meeting starts. But we're offering a Zoom link to it as well as in person, so we'll see what legislators come in person, what come over Zoom, but we're trying to make it as easy as possible to get as many there as possible.
Thank you, Kim. Mm-hmm. Did I miss anybody? I don't think so. Okay. Correspondence. I had no correspondence. Does either of you gentlemen?
I had a call from the mayor of Danville. Wanted to know if I heard anything about a hog confinement. It's going to start up east of Danville. I said no. And it said, you have to go to you first, don't they? And I said no. It said, we're not in the matrix. And basically, he wanted to know why. And I said, well, the reason is because DNR said in a meeting and told us they've got the final choice. And all it does is cost us labor, insurance, automobile, and we have to inspect them. So that's, I just want you guys to be aware of it in case you guys get a call too.
I've got correspondence as well. What street is this off of? I don't know, but anyways, it's in Des Moines County. It's like going toward Minneapolis, somewhere around there. And they've got some recycling bins. And the correspondence was, he says it's always full. He says, if you don't want people in Des Moines County throwing their recycling things and things out in the trash, he says, we need to add another bin. So I said, I'll make sure I mention it at the next meeting. I said, send me a picture. He says, it's always full like this. I double checked with him. I said, is it full of trash or is it full with recycling? He said, it's pretty much all recycling. He said, but it's full a lot. So anyways, that's my correspondence. I wanted to make sure that I handle that for you. Corey, it's done.
That one, we pay for that in the roll-off fees. They're located several places throughout the county.
They usually tell us where they're putting them, and they've gone up and down over the years on how many they have out there.
Okay, that one, that'd be the Solid Waste Commission. I think you're on that anyway, so you might want to find out what that location is and bring that to their attention.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, it's not Danville. They won't let us have one, will they, Chris?
Yeah, that was the city. I think they had a trapper. You put in remains in there, and that was
found
just
deer carcass, part of a deer carcass.
Yeah.
that was
the last straw.
Does it have a number 2 stamp on it?
Good question.
It could.
So we got to start carrying a number 2 stamp.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway, so if you want to check
and
see
look
which
at the
one,
latest billing.
See which one it is billing, then we could maybe reach out to them and say that we're getting reports of this particular.
There aren't that many locations.
Roll off site.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm thinking there might be 5.
I wonder if it's the one up in Minneapolis, because other than that, I don't think there's one in Sperry or Dodgeville.
One in West Burlington.
I thought they said this was around Sperry, Dodgeville.
I wasn't aware of one in Sperry, but there could be, I guess.
It's around Iowa City Road, somewhere around there.
There used to be at the old school site, but I don't know if it's still
there.
Maybe
it's still there, I don't know.
Drive by, Natalie.
Sure.
and put their own deer carcass.
I go to Danville to do that.
Discussion and vote number two. We have accounts payable in the amount of $910,177.77.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have personal
payroll.
Payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $685.27.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have a Class C liquor license for the Hy-B Michaelis wedding at the Barn on the Ridge for December 9th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Personnel actions. We have one personnel action for the correctional center. Zachary Rudisil, part-time correctional officer, a new hire. $15.99 an hour.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Personnel action for Descom. Martha Grimshaw, Descom custodial. New hire at $15 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. And we have two personnel actions for local health. We have Therese Lees, a registered nurse, part-time temporary RN, effective October 15th through January 15th, 2022, $25 an hour. And we have Janelle Starbuck, full-time or part-time temporary RN, effective October 15th, 2021, through January 15th, 2022, at $25 an hour.
Move to approve both of them.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have reports. We have the Treasurer's Report, semi-annual report for June 2021. And the Treasurer's Cash on Hand Report for June 30th, 2021.
Move to approve?
No, those are...
Oh,
I'm sorry, I'm not speaking. Those will be on file in the Auditor's Office and available for public review. Minutes for the regular meeting of October 12th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I have a workforce development board meeting, and they're just trying to do a better job of getting messages out to clients. They got a program where they're doing assistance with schools, with school costs. They're future ready. They just came back from the conference, and they had a report on that. And one of the big issues was that there are fewer females and fewer people of color that are going into the white collar, so-called white collar jobs. That technology is a deterrent, that we should pursue diversity and trades or even using technology. So that's kind of the issue that they're trying to work on with getting people to cross over into that technological aid, so to speak. And then also cybersecurity across the board is in big need for they're doing internships and externships for that. Just trying to help pipeline individuals into the workforce. That's pretty much it.
I had a little utility service system. We got a problem over in Chatelet. We got a sewer system that's on a guy's got a house on a leased property. And so he's not paying his bill, and we can't do anything about it because it's on leased property. And we have a shutoff valve there. Well, we shut it off. He dug down, cut the top of the valve off, shutoff valve, got in there and took the flapper out, and then glued that back in there so it looks like it's all, put the pin back in, so the pin's there, but the flapper's not there. So then they found out he was still using it. So they went out and they dug it up, and they found out that's when they found that. So then they put a new valve in, and this happened again. So now they're going to go out there and they're going to cut the line out on their property, and that comes out, and then it goes down. Yeah. So they're going to cut that out and see what happens there. And the problem of it is we can't assess anybody for it because it's on leased property. We can't assess the property owner because it's the guy's that signed up for it.
I'm assuming that's a tampering with some private property. I would assume there's some law that would have been violated if you go on to somebody has a.
It's criminal mischief. We'll figure out who did. And, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, we have a county attorney that won't do anything about it over there.
Which county is that?
It would be in Keokuk County.
Keokuk County. You mean Lee County?
No.
Keokuk County.
Over in
Sigourney. Wasn't the county attorney that did it, was it?
The guy's ambition.
He is. He's resourceful.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our problem. And then we did give Bruce authorization to we're buying a 2014 Kenworth pump truck, and found one for $84,000. It's down in Texas, and we're gonna pick it up. And we got the other one sold for $20,000. That's where we're at.
Good luck with the Keokuk County Attorney.
I don't know who that is.
Pretty tough to get a county attorney to do something he doesn't want to do.
Nearly impossible.
Yes, it is. I attended the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health Region meeting. Ken did proof claims and discussed the insanity of their Fund 10 fix, and discuss the Sigourney is going to have to enter into a contract with DHS for, what do you call it, performance-based contract that we have some questions that we could approach the Department of Human Services about. And I attended the Joint Safety Committee that Rodney mentioned, and we conducted the performance review for safety director. Angie did very well again, and like I mentioned, Rodney was elected chairman, so congratulations again to Rodney, and I'm confident he'll do a great job. That's all of my
Chairman Rodney.
Public input.
You should make him call you chairman from here on out. Don't even answer to Rodney. Call me chairman.
If anybody with questions or comments, email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board, board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or call. In the meantime, is there anybody in attendance that has any comments or questions?
I did forget to mention, tonight is the REAP assembly. So REAP is the Resource Enhancement and Protection Program. It's been around for 30-ish years. It's an enormous program that has done lots of work for parks, historic preservation, conservation in every county in the state of Iowa. Every 2 years they have these assemblies, and this is, so it's written into code. It's built in there to take public input, and so this is the chance for the public to give input on the program, learn about, you know, what it's done in your local communities, and then the input from this will go to the REAP Congress in January, which is the delegates that are selected at this meeting tonight. We'll go up there and then vote on any changes or things like that to propose to the legislature, which then takes that report and ignores it, but that's the it's the statutory public input process for this program. It's been immensely successful over so many years. So anybody that's got any interest in parks, conservation, historic preservation, and that kind of stuff. So REAP's been influential in building Big Hollow, building the trail. The city has knocked down REAP money left and right for building the Flowing River Trail through the city. The Historic Society has gotten dollars from REAP, so there's been a lot of really great things done in around here. So these assemblies are regional, and so this will cover, I'm not sure how many counties are around here, but there's usually 3 or 4 or 5 counties that show up to this. So it's at Stars Cave tonight at 6:30.
Thanks, Chris. Anybody else? I think our 2 minutes are up. So with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
Aye. We adjourned. We have a work session with Danville Telecom. We're at Jim Pencil regarding the broadband and the American Rescue Plan funds, and we'll take a 5-minute break.
Okay.